Well, it's great to have the opportunity to share with you this morning here at Southcote Family Church. It's great to be here again with you all and to share from God's Word. And again, I would want to thank you for your very warm welcome. Every time I come here, I really appreciate your warm welcome. And it's so lovely to now see so familiar faces. I'm losing count now of the number of times that I've been here. And as always, I come with greetings from all at Norcott Mission Church. It's great to be here again. Last time I was here, back in October of last year, we focused on Jeremiah 29, verses 1 to 14. For I know the plans. And together we explored the context of Jeremiah 29:11. And I'm sure you know the words so well, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. This morning, this morning, I would like us to keep with our theme of hope and focus on Romans chapter 8, verses 18 to 30, around the theme of hope that is unseen but real. Particularly looking at how Paul deals with the real problem of suffering and pain. As some of you will know, as a church family, we have experienced sadness and loss in recent months. And I'm sure this will have been your experience, whether currently or sometime in the past. You have journeyed or are journeying through suffering, sadness, pain, grief and loss. According to Tom Wright, the initial calling of the church is first and foremost is to take our place humbly among the mourners. As believers in the Lord Jesus, we are called to come alongside people who are experiencing sadness, suffering, pain, grief and loss, as well as regret and disappointment, and to provide opportunities for people to share their stories and feelings in a safe and relaxed environment. And maybe for some of us here, that is where we are this morning, even before I get into today's Bible reading, that we must consider maybe meeting with a church leader or a close Christian friend in order to share your experiences of what you are going through. Maybe that's where you are this morning, even before I launch into our passage for this morning. Or maybe, for some of us, we need to be reminded that in times of pain and suffering and distress, we can express ourselves freely and honestly before God. The Psalms can often give us the words that can be used on our own personal journey, as well as the freedom to use words that express our personal lament before God, who is good, faithful, and present. And as we were just reminded of a few moments ago, who loves us dearly, loves us deeply. One example can be found in Psalm 13, one of the many prayers of lament found in the book of Psalms. A psalm that Charlie from Kennet Valley explored with you just over a year ago, and you can find his talk on the church website listed there. According to Tom Wright, roughly one third of the Psalms are lamenting that things are not as they should be. The words that they use often are of complaint, question, sorrow, anger, and frustration, and often enough, bitterness. Their laments can make us feel that we are not alone, and they can offer us words that we can use on our own journey, which is also marked by pain and suffering. Or maybe, for some of us, there are many things that frustrate us about the world as we read the newspapers or watch the news each day. Another takeaway for us might be to turn those frustrations into prayer about the broken things in the world, whether political, environmental, social, or personal. According to Tom Wright, situations and opportunities will vary, but out of the lament of God's people, new possibilities can and do emerge. My prayer for us this morning, as we explore this passage together from Romans chapter 8, verses 18 to 30, is that whatever our circumstances, that we will find encouragement for the journey in a hope that is unseen but real. Let me just pray for one moment. Lord, we pray now that as we come before your word, we pray, Lord, that we might be open to hear your voice. That whatever we might be going through, whatever difficulties or challenges or suffering we might be experiencing, Lord, I pray that we might find encouragement from your word today. Lord, that we might know that you are here and that you want to speak, Lord, into each of our hearts. We invite you now, Lord, to come and, Lord, that in my weakness that you would help me to speak. But, Lord, that we might all be open and ready to receive your word today. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. We're now going to have the reading from Romans 8, from verses 8 to 13, and this will be read by Graham. Thank you, Graham.
So, in the NIV, this is entitled Present Suffering and Future Glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in the hope that creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who are the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen no hope at all, who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. Amen.
Thank you, Graham. As I mentioned earlier, Paul in this section deals with the real problem of suffering and pain. And perhaps the best way to understand this passage is to note the three groans. Firstly, we have the groan of creation from verses 18 to 22. When God finished his creation, it was a good creation. We see that in Genesis 1 and verse 31. But today, it is a groaning creation. We know that there is suffering and death, there is pain, all of which is the result of Adam's sin. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God's instructions and sinned, this was more than a personal matter between them and God. The whole creation suffered as a result of their fall. Disease, pain, death, and environmental hazards entered God's perfect world. However, this groaning is not a useless thing. Paul compared it to the pains of childbirth in verse 22, where we read these words. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. There is pain, but the pain will end when the child is delivered. One day, creation will be delivered, and the groaning creation will become a glorious creation. In the meantime, while we will experience times of suffering here on earth as believers, our focus should be on the glory that will be revealed in us. From verse 18, I consider that our present sufferings are not compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. In 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 to 18, which I know that I have spoken on previously, we are encouraged not to lose heart. Though outwardly, we are wasting away, yet inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but on what is unseen is eternal. No matter what happens to us in this life, as believers, we have the assurance of eternal life. Have you ever wondered what eternity will be like? Have you ever stopped to consider what eternity will be like? In Revelation 21, the holy city, the New Jerusalem, is described as a place where God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Forevermore, there will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. What a wonderful truth no matter what we're going through, it is not the last word. God has written the final chapter, and it's about true fulfillment and eternal joy for those who belong to Him. Secondly, returning to Romans chapter 8, we have the groan of believers from verses 23 to 25. From verse 23, not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. This is not a despairing groan we utter when we are passing through hard times. It's the groan of feeling incomplete as Christians. When we accept the free gift of salvation in Jesus Christ, we are assured of its completeness, so we can truly say, I have been saved. But while we're here on earth, we experience spiritual and moral weakness, and we long for a time when our redeemed bodies will be set free from sin and frailty. This indicates that salvation in its complete sense is still to come. We feel incomplete because the physical redemption of our body lies in the future. We can certainly experience now what form of life awaits for us then, because the Holy Spirit who lives within us is the first fruit of the harvest to come. Meanwhile, we are called to hope for this future event and wait patiently for it, and we groan with longing for it to happen. From verses 24 to 25. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. The believer knows that the temporary suffering will one day give way to eternal glory. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 8, we are reminded that though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though that you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. And I know that was a verse that Graham from Kennet Valley shared with you last week during your time together. Let me read it again. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Our temporary sufferings will one day give way to eternal glory. Thirdly, returning to Romans chapter 8, we have the groan of the Holy Spirit in verses 26 to 30. God is concerned about the trials of his people. When he was ministering on earth, Jesus groaned when he saw what sin was doing to mankind. Today, the Holy Spirit groans with us and feels the burdens of our weaknesses and suffering. But the Spirit does more than groan. He prays for us. His groan is so that we might be led into the will of God. We do not always know the will of God. We do not always know how to pray. But the Spirit intercedes so that we might live in the will of God in spite of suffering. From verse 26, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. There are prayers which are sighed rather than said, and in such moments, the Spirit comes alongside us to share in our weakness and to put our painful thoughts into words that make sense to God. Such is the depth of this form of praying that in our dependence on the Holy Spirit, we may be more in line with God's will than usual than when we pray, because God knows us better than we know ourselves. He also knows perfectly the mind of the Spirit. Therefore, he's able to hear and answer our prayers because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. I know that this passage has probably been a little bit tricky in places for us maybe to grasp fully. But as I begin to draw to a close, I want to really encourage you this morning not to grow discouraged in times of suffering, trial, sadness, pain, grief, or loss, because God is at work in the world and he has a plan. May these familiar words that we know so well from Romans 8, verse 28 to 29, encourage you. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. God has two purposes in that plan. They are our good and his glory. Ultimately, he will make us like Jesus. And I wonder this morning, have we become discouraged or frustrated by our present sufferings and by all that's happening around us in our world today?
Yes.
Often we are, that's right. We can often be frustrated. We can often be discouraged. But God is at work in our world today. He's at work in our lives. He's at work in our churches. He's at work in our communities. He is at work around the world. And he longs for us to grow more and more into the likeness of Jesus. So often when we experience suffering and pain and hardship, so often we might feel like we want to run away from those times, wish they weren't there. But it's often in the painful times, the difficult times, that Jesus works in our lives, that we continue to grow more and more into his likeness. And that's something that I've been learning recently, that yes, God does work for the good of those who love him. But so often that can come through the challenges that we face. And I'm sure that would be true for each one of us here this morning. But let's be reminded that we are dearly loved and precious to God. Yes, life can be hard and difficult. Yes, there is much suffering and pain. But as believers in the Lord Jesus, we have a hope. And there will be a day when there'll be no more suffering, no more pain, no more tears, that we will be with Jesus into all eternity.
On that bright and cloudless morning when the dead in Christ shall rise.
Amen. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. And so my encouragement to you all is to keep going, to keep trusting, to keep being faithful. faithful and to know that we have a hope, that we have a real hope. Though we might not see it, it is real. It is real. And we can hold on to that. Whatever we're going through personally, corporately, whatever we're enduring at this time, keep being reminded that we have a hope. Yes, unseen, but yes, real. And God is working for the good of each of us, for those of us who know him and love him, who've been called according to his purpose. And yes, times will be painful, but in those times of pain and grief and suffering, we are being made more and more into the likeness of Jesus. They're going to be leading shortly into our final song entitled There Is a Hope. And I just want to read the words from verse 2 before we're leading to the song and I pray. There is a hope that lifts my weary head, a consolation strong against despair, that when the world has plunged me in its deepest pit, I find the Saviour there. Through present sufferings, future fear, he whispers courage in my ear. For I am safe in everlasting arms, and they will lead me home. Before we sing this song together, let me close with a prayer. Lord, we thank you for the hope that we have, a hope that lifts our weary heads. And Lord, I pray that we might find encouragement from your words today. Lord, that whatever we might be experiencing, whatever we might be going through, whatever pain we might be enduring or suffering we might be experiencing, Lord, help us to hold on to that hope that we have in Christ. And Lord, that one day there will be a time when there will be no more pain, when there'll be no more suffering, when there'll be no more tears. And Lord, that we will be with you in all eternity. And I pray, Lord, that as we hold on to that hope, that hope might help us to live in the here and now. Lord, that we might remain faithful and true to you. And Lord, that we might make the most of every opportunity to serve you in these challenging times. Lord, I pray particularly for anyone here this morning who might be enduring pain in some way or suffering in some way. Lord, that they might know that they can cry out to you in their suffering and pain. And Lord, that you hear. Maybe it might involve talking with another Christian friend. I pray that they might be encouraged to share that burden and know your help, Lord, in that sharing, I pray. Maybe for all of us, Lord, we are frustrated by the things that we see in our world around us. I pray, Lord, that we might turn those frustrations into prayer, that we might continue to pray for our community, our town, our world. Lord, that your kingdom would come and that your will would be done. Lord, I just want to thank you again for your church here. I thank you for their faithfulness and for their ongoing witness in this community. And I pray, Lord, that they might just continue to know your power at work amongst them as they seek to share your love with those that live around them. Lord, we ask that you would just continue to bless this church, this dear church family, Lord. I thank you for them. And I pray again, Lord, that they might continue to find encouragement from your word. They might continue to live out their faith for you. And continue, Lord, to hold on to that hope. That hope that is unseen, but real. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for the promise that you give to us. And I pray, Lord, that we might each know your blessing as we go from this place today. And Lord, just reflect upon these words. Lord, just help us to continue to be faithful. For your power, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.